say thank you, except I wouldn't, for that. Thank you for that question, as I think desperately, paddling along. First of all, I think you're right to be hesitant about the terms right and left. They are old-fashioned terms, out of date, I think. They're unhelpful. So the categorisation of people and their positions in this way is shorthand and unhelpful shorthand, in my view, because you can be your interest can range across. Indeed, if you have a coherent Christian social philosophy, it would be hard to tell which way you voted in elections, for example. If you thought the Labour Party was of the left and the Liberal Party was of the right, if those terms make any sense of our democracy. So a coherent Christian social philosophy ought to find itself straddling a whole set of issues, and it would be, I always hope it's impossible to tell which way I would vote, for example. In my public utterances, I've taken up issues which some may regard as of the right and some of the left. Now, that is not to say that some Christians ought not to specialise in particular areas. And I think that's a perfectly justifiable thing. And there are some Christians who will spend a great deal of time on areas such as abortion, for example, often thought of as a right-wing issue, but I don't know why. It's a human rights issue. But whose interest may be there and not perhaps in workplace legislation. That seems perfectly legitimate, but as a whole group, we need, I think, to be across the issues and arrive and coming at this from a social, not unified, we will have differences between us, but I believe that we will, as Christians, have a view, for example, of justice and compassion, which will be held by us all, and a view of the need for what I call mediating institutions between overweening government and individual, mediating institutions and community groups. I think that arises out of our gospel, actually. But how that figures in whether you vote this way or that, I'm not sure in Australia you can predict. That's as good as I can do.
How's this going, Stuart? Thank you. I heard tell that the terms right and left originated in the 18th century French Parliament.
I believe they did, and I think they've had their day.
Yeah, fair enough. Very good. Any questions from the floor? Byron, thanks.
Dr. Jensen, thank you for your words tonight, particularly the reminder of how important it is to ground all we say in an account of human being and flourishing that comes from the gospel. My question is this, on what criteria do we decide which issues to speak up about and even organise politically on? So, for instance, is it a discernment of which issues are clearest in the scriptures, or those where the suffering and injustice is greatest, or strategic issues that have knock-on implications for other areas? Is it issues that we think we can win on sort of a pragmatic political analysis? Or is it just the issues that we personally are most familiar with? And if I may be allowed one illustrative case study that puzzles me, since I think on most of these criteria it would deserve more attention than I've seen it receive. There's a clear scriptural guidance directing us to care for creation and to be good stewards of it. Yet anthropogenic climate change threatens millions of species. There are millions, even billions, of human lives and livelihoods at stake, particularly future generations and the global poor, both of whom have done little or nothing to contribute to the problem, and it has lots of knock-on implications for other areas. So I'm just wondering if you could speak a little bit about the criteria you use to work out which issues. Thanks.
Thank you very much. And again, I'm not pretending that my answer is going to be any more than just a beginning to such an important and deep question. So let me reply along the following lines. First of all, you use the word we, but of course it begs the question as to who we are when you use that term, use that pronoun. One of the good things about the Christian movement is there's so many of us, and we can therefore specialise. We, the Christians, can specialise, and I think we should. It's good to hear of Christians being doing this or that and having a passion, so that it was a passionate concern that gave birth to the RSPCA, a passionate concern for animals and the welfare of animals. Now, you could say that person should have been very concerned about slaves, or those persons. Well, some of them were, actually, but they could have been concerned about other issues as well. But there's a limit to what human beings can do, and sometimes a passionate, burning zeal in one area is the best thing to do. So bear that in mind, but as long as the Christian movement as a whole is showing concern across the board, then that's okay. Now, as far as I am concerned, let me come back to myself as a public figure. One of the surprising things that happened to me on becoming Archbishop was how public the whole role was. I mean, I'd seen it before, but until you're in it, you may not realise it. So what I tried to do was to choose my topics in two ways. First of all, when balls were bowled to me, fast balls, difficult balls, Yorkers, full tosses outside the leg stump, I tried to use whatever they said. I tried to bring my Christian social philosophy, my understanding of the gospel, to bear to that issue. And so I always tried, where possible, to talk about God, Jesus and the Bible, to actually articulate God, Jesus and the Bible so that people could hear the words God, Jesus and the Bible in the public arena. But also to know that whatever it was we were talking about came from there. Now, Richard Glover was quickly onto me, and he hardly lets me ever do this on his program, but sometimes I get away with it. But I always tried to do that, whatever the issue was, and I didn't mind what the issue was. If I could get a hearing, I'd take it. Secondly, however, I also determined to do... I thought to myself, there are many needs in community. I can't do everything. But the people in our community most at risk, and the people in our community who have the lowest esteem, et cetera, are prisoners in our jails. So I will try to make it my business as Archbishop of Sydney to do something to improve the lot of prisoners in jails. Well, I suppose, you know, I've tried. I've talked to successive attorneys general and people in the department. I've visited as many prisons as I could, and so forth and so on. I've done my bit, and I've written articles, given speeches, done this, that and the other. I've made that my thing, which I think is... Now, I can't also make famine conditions in Ethiopia my thing. I'm only a human being. So that's what I chose to do as a model. Now, I come to the third point you made about climate change. I don't myself remember saying anything about this in particular. It's just one of those things that there's just so much you can do. But as a group, as a fellowship, as a Christian community, I think we have some very important things to say about this. Not so much, oh, the science is right and therefore we must do that and this, that and the other. That we may do that, certainly. But on the theological front, climate change is a key theological issue. And we've got to give voice to that theology. You mentioned stewardship, yes, but also apocalyptic. For what we're talking about is apocalyptic stuff. And I think we've got to analyse what's going on here from the point of view of, is this the end of the world or is it the penultimate end of the world? What are we dealing with here? Because we're going to have to not just do the things which will slow climate change down, if possible, but also prepare people for climate change through the gospel. Now, we've not even really begun thinking about that one yet, but we're going to have to. Thank you. Thank you for raising that issue. Yep.
I'll introduce a book by a chap called Robert Benn a bit later, which also makes a helpful distinction, really, between the way we can speak as individuals, we can speak as participants in a parachurch grouping. We can speak as members of a political party. We can speak in the case of those who lead the churches as church leaders. And it's just helpful to realise that there's lots of different positions in society that this can be done from too, which I take it something like climate change is so complicated and important and big that it'll need people to become very organised around that to do it well. Andrew.
Archbishop, in describing the theological basis for speaking, you talked about the relationship between the law and the gospel and talked about how the only gospel we have is one that comes out of the law and which in turn gives us back the law. I found it very helpful, thank you. And I wonder if you think that can provide a further ground for speaking in public when we are speaking about moral issues, and it can come across as moralising, whether there is actually a basis